We've seen over the weekend reports that ESCOM's hearings are allegedly being tailored to favor suspended executive Matsila Gogo. There are reports of irregular interventions by the ESCOM board to ensure that the outcome of that disciplinary process is favorable to Matsila Gogo. Even going as far as the board being accused of asking him to choose the presiding officer. And so there were questions about, is this standard procedure? How does this process actually work? Should the accused or someone who's going to be taken through a disciplinary process be involved in choosing any of the people in that process, including the presiding officer? And we're joined on the line by labor law expert from Deal Attorneys, Patrick Deal, on the line to us from Johannesburg to try and make sense of this latest development at ESCOM. Patrick, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on Night Talk.
Good evening, Cooks, and good evening to your listeners. Thank you.
So in terms of the disciplinary processes, what governs a disciplinary process like this one, particularly at a state-owned entity? As in, how is it formulated? What guides its procedure?
Well, in the first instance, it is action taken by the employer against an employee. And it is for the employer to take the initiative and also to appoint the chairperson. Normally, it is a chairperson within the organization and also a prosecutor or the complainant who would normally be within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes happens. In fact, it quite often happens with a senior person in the organization, especially the CEO, that they will get an external chairperson to chair the disciplinary inquiry simply because they need someone of greater authority than the employee concerned. And in that instance, they would appoint an external person. And so, and they may even appoint an external prosecutor as well because of the seniority factor. So it's not unusual from that point of view. What is unusual, as far as I can see from this situation, is that the ESCOM has asked him to choose his chairperson.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a procedure that is, it is quite often used in a different setting, not so much in a disciplinary inquiry, but in a different setting, an arbitration where it is a voluntary arbitration. It could be a labor arbitration. It could be a commercial arbitration, where there's a process where you can, one of the benefits of a private arbitration is that you can choose your arbitrator from a list of three. You each put names forward and you choose so that there's agreement on who your decision maker is.
Mm-hmm.
But that is when you both agree to go to a disciplinary inquiry. In a disciplinary inquiry, it is not the case where the employee would agree to go to a disciplinary inquiry because it is the initiative taken by the employer. And so normally it is the employer that does it. But I suppose what has happened here is that they're trying to find a senior person who is sufficiently neutral. And that is the key thing. No matter how the chairperson is appointed, the end result must be that the chairperson must be neutral and be seen to be neutral. And all the processes involved in selecting that person would be important in helping to show that, well, that to that the perception of fairness of the choice of the person is correct. So you've mm-hmm. got a competent person that is neutral. That is the most important end result that you want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned earlier that often there'll be a list of three and then there'll be a selection, particularly with the presiding officer, of then one person to fulfill that role of the presiding officer. That appears to be part of what happened in this particular instance with regards to ESCOM and Matsila Gogo's disciplinary process. If reports are correct, he was asked to elect one name from a list of three.
Yes, I think that they've used the same sort of procedure that you would often use in a voluntary arbitration so that the parties have a say in who will be chosen as the the arbitrator, and so they seem to have used the same procedure in the disciplinary context internally, which is an unusual situation, but may result in a fair outcome if the person is selected is a chairperson who is competent and who knows the business and is highly experienced. And the particular chairperson that has been chosen for this particular disciplinary inquiry is a person who happens to be is very experienced and has got a lot of experience in chairing these disciplinary inquiries. So mm-hmm. he may be a person who will conduct the process fairly and as a neutral, and that's really the final test of it.
And in terms of the concerns around the involvement of the board, or what's called irregular interventions by the board, in this process, generally, what is the extent of the involvement of a board, particularly, again, because we're speaking about a state-owned entity?
Well, the board, the CEO is accountable and reports to the board. So if there are going to be disciplinary processes, it would be the board who would decide to take disciplinary action. They would first do an investigation to see that there is a case to be made and there's a sufficient evidence. And it would be the board's responsibility to, in fact, take the step to institute disciplinary procedures. So that in itself is not irregular.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go about the process of appointing, looks as though they're giving him, in other words, the employee concerned, Mr. Koko, a choice and of who the chairperson may be, and also of a prosecutor. I mean, choosing the prosecutor is an absolute no-no, I would say, in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But having a say in who the chairperson would be from a list of senior advocates who are known to be neutral and so on, regardless of how they are appointed, in itself may end up with a fair result and a fair choice of a person. It doesn't look right, that is for sure, but the end result may be a fair appointment with the right person.
And then in terms of the presence of the media, so there was some question about whether or not the media should be allowed to be there. But it appears that particularly the former Times Media Group, the Tyso Black Star Group, would be allowed to attend the inquiry and report on the developments. Is this also normal?
It's not normal. It's unusual, because remember that this is an internal disciplinary inquiry, and the process of allowing the media into trials, public trials, which are normally external trials, like trials in a high court and other kinds of public hearings. But it isn't unusual. It is very unusual, in fact, to have it in an internal disciplinary inquiry involving an employer and an employee. And I suppose it is a bit of a test case that it be done in this way. And I suppose it is because it is a public interest. It is in the public interest, and that Eskom has had a lot of focus of attention on it. And so, I think it should be seen as possibly a good thing, because that will demonstrate having the media of the Fourth Estate present and to determine, to oversee the process and to report to the public on it would be another way of ensuring some sort of reporting on the fairness or otherwise in which the chairperson conducts the inquiry, in which the prosecutor performs as a prosecutor, and to give a rating to the public on whether the whole process and the participants of those who are finally chosen actually do a good job or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a healthy event that it's happened, I would say. But it is unusual. It's not normal, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. That's labor law expert from Deal Attorneys, Patrick Deal, joining us on the line from Joburg.